This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you want to listen to this episode or any of our episodes ad-free, you can do that now. Head on over to Patreon. Click on the ad-free level. You get all of our bonus shows that you've been hearing so much about. Plus, every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can listen to this episode or any of our other episodes at the same time, ad-free, over on Patreon. Welcome back to our part two sit down with Miss Bronwyn Windenburg. And if you haven't heard part one, it was only 2 Mondays ago. Listen to that first. This chat will make so much more sense. We talk all about not just Bronwyn joining RHOC and being on RHOC. We really kind of deep dive into why does nobody believe Bronwyn? Why, when she comes out as gay, as an alcoholic, why does nobody believe her? We go there, we ask these questions, we get answers, we talk about her relationships now, we talk a little bit about current RHOC. Do we have the right cast? I mean, do we want to keep Emily and Gina and Dr. Jen and Dubrow and Shannon, et cetera, and all these rumors that they're already filming and all this Michigas. We deal with it all. And now we are going to continue our conversation. Part two, you can listen to this without listening to the first part. I don't think that's going to make so much sense. I think you should listen to the first part first. But here is our continuation with Miss Bronwyn Windenburg. So why, when you come out as gay and you come out as an alcoholic, and these are things that are real in your life, why? I mean, we look at like all the things Vicky went through and you say you're friends with Tammy. Why is it that people don't believe it when it's you? You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things that happen to a lot of housewives back to back to back. Why was that the narrative?
I think there's a few reasons. One, it's the culture of housewives is people don't want to believe it. When Dorit's house got broken into, people thought she made it up. That's disgusting.
They did.
I think that's the culture. People hate watch. I think that's new. I don't recall this 15 years ago. Well, there wasn't Instagram as popular anyway. So I think there's a culture of hate watching. You know, you want to aspire to something, but you also want to see it brought down. And I don't understand the psychology behind it with the viewers. I don't know. I think for me, the coming out as a mother was really hard on women. Women don't want to see a woman living her best life. Like you have children now. That's all you should do. I think there's a martyrdom in our society, especially with unhappiness with women. You know, they have to have a reason for being so unhappy, not changing their lives. And when they see women breaking out of that, they have to bring her down. Otherwise, their lives don't make sense.
Right. Like just staying when they don't want to.
Really, yeah. Or a lot of things. I think a lot of women are unhappy. You know, having children is very hard. And I think if you go into the mommy martyr syndrome, it's easier to pull other women down. I also think that there's a lot to be said about what Bravo airs. They get to pick and choose. So if they want that to be a storyline, oh, she's faking it for ratings, well, that's on them. If I was editing the show, I would have had an uplifting story about getting sober and living your best life. But they didn't want to go that route, so they gave airtime to another level. And It is what it is. Luckily, we do have social media. So it took me a couple years, but I do think people now believe I'm sober.
I think they believe that. I think they believe that you're gay. I think that, yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
But I definitely think it took a minute.
It took and a half. Long fucking yeah. time. It, I mean, and yeah, that sucked. But, you know, I know my truth. I know it. And I think as long as you know who you are, cut out the noise.
Were you mad that like Bravo kind of was going with that narrative?
Yes. I mean, here's my PC answer. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. Thank you for the platform. Blah, 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 blah. Like I've said that a million times. And although that is true, dude, that was fucked up. Like what is wrong with you people? You equated two women having sex to eating raw fish. Not cool. Not cool. You said I was faking alcoholism. Not cool. Like, dude. No. Lame. Oh, we're gay. We're a gay-friendly network. No, you're not. Like, I might get in trouble for this. But, like, you know, my coming out story was big and messy, and it didn't fit with the narrative that they wanted to push. So it's like, you know, coming out isn't always simple.
No.
And, you know, they've recently cast, and I love this. I do love this, that Bravo finally has a same-sex couple in Miami. But it's like, that's more palpable. We can understand it. Famous couple, two kids. Julia Story is, I mean, I have a lot of respect for everything she's been through. She's an amazing woman. And I'm glad Bravo's done that. But you also need to give sort of some space for some coming out stories aren't easy.
Right.
And it's not going to be, you know, the DeBros. I love that they accepted their children so, so amazingly. But that's not always the case. Not every kid has that experience. Coming out can be hard. Mine was hard. It wasn't all love and rainbows. So show that too. Because a lot of viewers are sitting at home somewhere and it's not all good for them. So.
No, I mean, I get it. Well, I mean, also to that point. And I need to look at the actual language that they use. But, you know, I believe they use the, like, we've cast our first ever.
Oh, lesbian. I saw the press release. Yeah, yeah. A bunch of people sent it to me because they were so angry. They were like, what the fuck? It says first LGBTQ. Now, let's be honest. I'm not the first LGBTQ. There have been other queer housewives. You know, Ashley Darby, Barb wasn't a housewife, but, you know, she's bi.
Kim
Zolciak dated a woman. Candy has said that she has. So if we're talking about –
and not to keep it close to home, but Fernanda Rocha.
Yeah. She wasn't a housewife, but she, you know, she was cut down. She was supposed to be. She was cut out of the photo last minute. So there have been other LGBTQ housewives.
Yes.
Way before me. I wasn't even the first of that. So when they wrote the first LGBTQ, I was like, no. But you know what? That's straight washing. Because they wanted to give it to you in a palatable form. And that's sort of what Bravo does. They whitewash, they straight wash. And I mean, I've gone on tangents about this. But when a bunch of people sent that to me because they were like, what the hell? And I was like, I know, because I'm not even that. I'm the first lesbian housewife because Julia doesn't even identify as a lesbian. She identifies as bi, which is beautiful.
Right.
But to just sort of negate everything I'd gone through on camera and pretend
one
like it didn't happen.
Earlier-ish, like, one and a half.
That hurt because I was like, wow, you're trying to erase me. And it's that straight erasure. Yeah, that's the right word. Straight erasure that was so hard. It was like, at least don't do that. They were the first gay couple and that's beautiful and we need more of that. And I hope we get a trans housewife soon. Like, let's keep going. You know, don't stop with that. But for when they wrote that, it was like a middle finger to me. And all the other housewives that have come out as bi or queer.
And we had Lauren Foster in Miami, friend of – I think she was an official friend of way back in the day, like season 1, 2, 3 maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. She's been on my show. Do you think – so when you say straight wash, what – like Julia has a famous wife, Martina, this is a great way to present it. Is it that?
Yes.
Like, and just –
this is something that middle America can rally behind. You know, it's like having your gay best friend who's a designer. We love that.
Right.
You know, I think there's a lot of ways that we can handle homosexuality as a country that we're comfortable with. you know, Julia's wife is a national treasure. So, oh, okay, she's sport. She's a, that's something. Okay, even in my conservative household, I can rally behind that. I am married. I'm sleeping with a woman. I have 7 kids. Oh, no, that's messy. We don't want that because that's bad. Women don't do that, you know. I don't feel like I was cheating at all because I was very open about everything that was happening. But, you know, technically I'm still married.
You are.
Yeah.
So you are. I don't know if that's even technical.
Like, technically. So I still am, you know. So I think it was just trying to make it more palatable. And I get it because it's a network that needs ratings. And let's be honest, you know, it's struggling right now with that. So you don't want to tune any more long-term viewers out.
Right. It is struggling with that, which I have a question about that in a second. But yeah, and you know, yes, everyone. And I think it's that everyone knows Martina, you know, for 20 years. Like, she's gay. Like, that's obvious. Like, we all know that. Right. So it's not even like it is a same-sex couple, but in a way it's like a woman who's clearly a lesbian that we all know about for 30 years or whatever. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's easier. Yeah. I do think Bravo needs to give more just more props to the women that have come out before, because it's not easy to come out as bi. It's hard to come out as bi because people don't believe you. I've noticed that with a lot of my bi friends. They think that you're doing it for attention.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water, and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures up my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
I would tell you what Relief Band is, but it's just what it sounds like. It's relief in the form of a band. The one thing I was born with is motion sickness, and it's really cars and boats and ugh. It's all awful. It causes nausea and vomiting, and let me tell you, Relief Band has changed all of that. I wear it around my wrist. It is so stylish, and it really helps with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines. Yes, it does help with hangovers, and I've used it for that as well. I mean, I am in the Hamptons living my, like, you know, fun girl summer over here. I went on a boat for the first time this summer, and I was actually okay. And don't let the fear of nausea prevent you from being present in life's most important moments. Right now, you can join over 100,000 Relief Band users with an exclusive offer for Just Behind the Velvet Rope listeners. You go to reliefband.com, use promo code VELVET, and you get 20% off plus free shipping and a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, it's better to have a Relief Band and not need it, I've been there, than to need it and not have it. So head to reliefband.com and use promo code VELVET for 20% off plus free shipping.
Hey, ladies. Look, I know you guys work so hard trying to keep that career together, but hopefully you are taking some time to yourselves. If you haven't already done so, you need to discover Dame. Dame is the only one-stop shop you need to discover all your pleasure with their thoughtfully engineered toys. They also have discreet shipping, hassle-free returns, and the toys are a whole lot of fun. For example, you guys are going to love the Eva. It's a hands-free couples vibrator. It's designed to enhance partner play without getting in the way. Now I got to tell you about the Palm for when you're alone. Listen, exploring your pleasure on your own helps you get in touch with, you know, yourself, learn more about what you like, and guess what? That leads to better sex with your partner. And like I said, Dame offers hassle-free returns within 60 days, so your satisfaction is literally guaranteed. Power up your pleasure with Palm or any of the other toys from Dame products. Go to dameproducts.com and enter code VELVETROPE for 15% off your order. That's right, dameproducts.com, enter code VELVETROPE and you get 15% off. And oh, hey ladies, don't forget to have fun. You guys know I do everything to stay young. Yeah, a couple of shots to the face never hurt anyone. But look, staying young isn't just about how you look, you know. That's why I use Metabolic Reds. They're anti-aging nutraceuticals that you drink. That's right. I use these before and after I exercise, and actually they work great as a meal replacement. Now, of course, everyone wants to live longer and healthier, and I mean, you know I'm trying to lose weight, and I need as much energy throughout the day as possible. And I'm so busy, so like for me, I love something that is all of this in one, and that is what Metabolic Reds does. They're energy drinks and shots that, like, for me, it helps perfect with like that midday crash, right when I'm about to like, oh, I work at home doing this podcast, I want to take a nap, totally picks me up. They taste awesome, and like I find they give me as much energy as like coffee. So listen, you guys have to try this. Go to GetReds.com. That's GetReds.com/velvet. GetReds.com/velvet and unlock your offer of a free Metabolic Greens with your purchase of Metabolic Reds. That's right. Go to GetReds.com/velvet to unlock your offer of a free Metabolic Greens when you purchase Metabolic Reds. You know, we have all these guests on this show and you hear all their dogs in the background. Well, listen, I've been telling all these housewives about the Reval dog crate from Diggs, and they're actually using it and they cannot get enough. Listen, the Diggs Reval dog crate is freaking amazing because it's a collapsible dog crate that's so easy to set up and transport and store. It doesn't take any space. Use one hand and you can just set it up and then you can collapse it when you're not using it. Of course, it is safety tested. They use baby industry standards to test. So you know that your dog is your baby, let's be honest, and this crate is safe. It's sexy, it's pretty, it looks good, it looks like a piece of furniture. And by the way, it is the summer and we're all traveling. They also make travel crates, that's right. They're passenger travel carrier. It's like 5 stars for your dog. So look, make home comfortable for your pet and go to digs.pet/velvet and you get 15% off just from listening to this podcast. That's digs.pet/velvet to get 15% off site wide. Your dog will start thanking you today.
You know, and so I think to write first LGBTQ was really, really rude to not just me, but to, you know, the other women that came before me.
Yeah. And I'm not even like, I'm sure if I really took a minute, I would
it's not a small group. And I think we need to, acknowledge that sexuality isn't black and white. It's not one or the other. For a lot of us, it's fluid, and let's embrace that.
Right. I mean, you were just the first one I thought of just because you were a housewife. You are a housewife, and it was only like one season before. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people sent that to me. Like, what the F? I'm like, oh, wow.
What about when people say things like, okay, you came out and then – is this – see, I'm like being easy on you today.
No.
Right? Well, like you came out and then like in, you know, your first two relationships, one of them is Fernanda. We don't have to – listen, you're in a happy relationship now. You met the love of your life. We don't have to – but like – Oh, well, really? I mean, out of all the girls in Orange County, you happen to pick. There was this also this narrative that went along with, oh, Bronwyn, you're calling the paparazzi.
That's right. I forgot that too. Okay.
There was that too. Well, all kind of goes together. Like you're picking the other housewife, lesbian in Orange County. Like you want press. You want the paparazzi.
So when I didn't remember her from that season because although I was like, oh, I'm a fan of the show. I used to watch in the background with the kids. I had no recollection that she'd been on the show until Faces by Bravo, Steven, posted, who's my good friend, posted her. And I went, wait, what? I didn't know. So I see it on his page and I DM her right away. Now, at the time, if you go onto her page, she was married and it's pictures of her and her wife.
Yeah.
So I wasn't hitting up her DMs. I was more like, oh, my God, here's someone that's been through this before. I would love to have her as a friend. So I met her. We went for coffee. I went to her gym. And I was sort of explaining my own marriage, how we were trying to do an open marriage, which she was trying to do at the same time. So I didn't know that when I DM'd her. Turns out they ended up getting divorced and open marriage didn't work for them. But I didn't DM her to hook up with her. Right. I DM'd her because I didn't have any gay women friends in Orange County. I don't know where to meet them because you go to like the local gay bars, they're all 20. You know, yes. So here is this woman who's had a job of mine. We have kind of a connection. And I will say this, too. When I was hanging out with her, she has an amazing group of gay women friends that was so important for me to have at that time. Like I learned a lot from the people she hung out with. An amazing group of just powerful, strong gay women. So I didn't hit her up. Now, that's being said, she's hot.
Very pretty.
Like very.
I mean, you are too. Your new girlfriend is. You're all really hot. But so yes, Fernande is gorgeous. Yes.
So once I found out, oh, so your marriage is, oh.
I mean, she owns a gym. She's in shape. Like, you know.
But that was it. Like, I did not hit her up for press, for paparazzi. I really wanted a friend. I needed a friend. And to have a gay woman friend in a conservative town would have been, you know, great. So that's why I DM'd her. I didn't realize what was going on in her marriage at the time. She's, you know, been divorced for over a year probably now. And then just one thing led to another. I will say I you know, Fernanda is a great human. We were better suited as friends. We did have a great time. We did. But I think our connection was more – I mean, she's hot.
Yeah.
So –
She is hot. Yeah, she is I've hot. Had her on this show and I'm like, huh.
Yeah,
like,
she's
this
hot.
This is nice here. I'm a gold star.
Like, how could I not? Yeah. But hot. we're better suited as friends.
That makes sense. Why do you I don't know. It all goes back to the same, like.
And as far as the calling paparazzi, can we all just take a minute to say two things? One, Kelly Dodd put my address on the internet. I did not live in a gated community at the time. We all lived in the same community, not gated.
Thank you, Kelly Dodd.
That photo of me and Chris was a big deal. It had nothing to do with me. You know, there was no calling the paparazzi. They sat in front of my home. There was two cars for a long time. Even my kids would like get to the point to wait. The first time it happened, I was scared, but I realized what it was. They followed me. And that's just the truth of it. Because I was the first gay housewife dating a woman. Those photos were worth something. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't me calling them. They get paid money for those. That's it. Am I getting followed now? No. Because now I'm just doing boring shit, like watching the English baking show with my girlfriend.
And going to Coachella.
You know, but like you have to put in context that time period. And I remember some of my castmates, there's no paparazzi at the beach. You're right. They would follow me from my home. And I just got used to it and I didn't care. Whatever. It is what it is. Yeah. That doesn't happen to me anymore. So there was a brief amount of time where that was the case. That time has ended. You know, I live in a gated community now. But those photos were worth a lot of money. When I was first dating Victoria, we were at the beach in Miami. I didn't know they were there, but we had posted that they were there. Like there's certain places you know you're more likely to. Miami's one of them. But – just so you guys know, we don't call them. They get paid for the photos. That's it.
Period. They
and
do.
If there's not a need, they're not taking the photos. So
no.
And that's just how this works.
Right. Like they're not on Bieber 24/7 because he's so wonderful and great. It's like
yeah. And Kelly Dodd had something. The same thing. Kelly Dodd had the same kind of when we both were let go at the same time because they knew where we lived, same community. They were following both of us. Like it wasn't just me. It was just. That is the culture. I'm sure other housewives have had times in their life where that happens too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes and yes.
Yeah, now it doesn't. Now no one follows me except for my dog.
I'm sorry. Well, you speak of losing your job. So then after you lost your job, along with Kelly Dodd and Elizabeth Vargas, it's okay. I've been fired from many jobs, and this is why I've worked for myself for the past gazillion years. So after you lost your job, then there was this – I think – I don't know if it was on Radio Andy, but Andy Cohn said – you know, with Bronwyn, she was going through, you know, coming out as gay and like and being an alcoholic. And there was just so much. And he implied like there was just a lot of like stuff.
I mean, I took it as you're not mentally stable. That's how. Yes. Yeah. That's how I was like, huh, that's weird because none of you talk to me. So how the hell would you know? Because no one told me. No one talked to me. No one checked in. I was doing great. Was it hard to get sober? Sure, on everyone. That first year is intense. But, you know, that was lame. I'm probably one of the most stable housewives there is right now. Like, I put in the work. Do I have issues? Absolutely. You know, I have past trauma. I have stuff. I work on them. But let's be honest. I've seen many a housewife spiral, and their cameras are right there front and center. They don't care about our mental health. That's bullshit. Don't even pretend to care about our mental health. You don't. As long as we're not a liability and we're bringing in money, I think it was more – I was very polarizing during Black Lives Matter. Very. You know, I still am. I can't keep my mouth shut about social justice. I mean, I remember when Shannon's like, oh, I don't do politics. I'm like, it's not fucking politics. It's human lives. Okay,
right.
Whatever.
This is.
But I am very polarizing.
If there's one thing you guys know about me from listening to this podcast, it's that I like options and I like simplicity and I like convenience. And I have to tell you, Talkspace kind of feels like having a therapist in my back pocket. I'm able to reach out to my therapist anytime from anywhere, and that makes taking care of my mental health super easy. I'm more relaxed when I'm traveling. You know, I'm in the Hamptons all summer, so I mean, I'm on the go. And I just love knowing that if I need to talk to my therapist, I can just send a message from wherever I am, and hey, they respond. Also, I gotta tell you, if you're thinking of therapy, you can sign up for Talkspace and you can actually start therapy the exact same day. Like I said, simplicity and results. It's a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. As a listener of this podcast, you get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com. Make sure to use the code VELVET to get $100 off your first month. That's VELVET and Talkspace.com. I mean, I really don't understand why people change their shirt and their shoes and their underwear and everything else every day, but they wear the same pair of glasses. Well, not me. If you look and follow me on Instagram, you'll see I have a different pair of glasses almost every time you see me. And here's the secret. I don't spend a fortune. With Pair Eyewear, you pick a base, and then you pick a bunch of toppers that go over the base. It's really that easy. So for my base, I picked the Finley. They're stylish, they're cool, they're sophisticated, and then I picked a whole bunch of toppers that go over those. So when you see me with like pink camo glasses and green polka dot glasses, it's all the same pair of glasses. I just changed the top. So economical. The base frame started at $60, and yes, that includes prescription lenses. They also have sunglasses for the summer, so you can get glasses as unique as you are. One pair, infinite style, starting at just $60. Go to paireyewear.com/velvet for 15% off your first purchase. That's 15% off at paireyewear.com/velvet. I gotta tell you guys about Radix Remedies. What I love from Radix Remedies the most is their THC gummies. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's a cannabis edible, and I don't know, the THC gummies make me feel great. They enhance my reaction time. They reduce my anxiety and stress. Let's really stress that, no pun intended. Kind of do both at the same time and really help me focus to do this podcast every day. I also love the Sleepy Bears, which are delicious, and yep, they're effective sleep aids. I don't know, my mind doesn't turn off at night. So the Sleepy Bears from Radix Remedies really help. They're cannabis and melatonin infused, and you know, I don't know, if you're not getting sleep, you ain't functioning. It's as simple as that. Radix Remedies has everything. They have topicals and edibles and dry bud and Just the possibilities are endless. All of Radix Remedy's products can be purchased as monthly subscriptions at reduced rates. There's also free shipping on orders over $35, and you get 15% off with promo code VELVET. Go to RadixRemedies.com, and just for listening to this podcast, you get 15% off with promo code VELVET and free shipping on orders over $35.
You know, I'm an out and proud liberal that fights for social justice as much as I can. That put off a lot of people. You know, I was getting death threats. I lost tons of followers. I remember when I did the movement, Not a Moment, asking production not to tell my cast members because they're going to come after me with a bullseye. And they did. You know, a lot of the things they said were lies. I have text messages from them, racist text messages from them that I never put out there. But this is how I met Noella. This is how I met Noella. I was coming to a protest in Orange County in Newport Beach, and I had a group text with everyone from the cast, and someone had sent a photo of Corinne Del Mar all boarded up. That's where we live in Newport Beach. And I was like, oh, we were there? Awesome. I'm coming too. We should all go together. Because I thought, how great would that be to all the housewives to show up in solidarity, you know, for Black Lives Matter. Keep in mind, this is Corinne Del Mar. It was like a parade. It's the safest place in the world. It wasn't what you were seeing in Portland. Like Newport's not that. It was strollers and old people and, you know, the police were handing out water. And that was not her point. And so it became racist memes. You're a bad mom. You're a terrorist. Now, this is what the group chat with the other women I'm filming with is becoming. I'm like, so I call my showrunner. I said, I cannot film with these fucking women. This is probably another reason I was fired. I cannot film with these people. I cannot stand them. They are racist. I cannot do this. And he said, call Noella. She had been in casting in the thing the year before, hadn't got casted. He said, call her. I think you guys are going to get along. And that's how I met Noella, because she was a like-minded social warrior justice person. And we bonded over this, you know, in this time of Black Lives Matter, because we both cared about our city and we wanted to make change for the better. Obviously, she is half Black. So for her, it's personal for her and her children. For me, it was just, you know, the feeling that every life matters and every life should be equal.
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all true. And I didn't realize that was how you met Noella.
Yes. Oh, and I will say this too, because this is another thing, because I forget them. Kelly said I called a photographer to take photos of me at Black Lives Matter. I have beautiful photos from the Huntington Beach one, which was not peaceful. My children were not at that one. I had done something called Wives Helping Lives when the pandemic first hit with Jennifer Armstrong, the new housewife. And we had been putting together care packages for the nurses. And a photographer had come and helped us take photos for that. And she just happened to be at the Huntington Beach protest. And she recognized me because we'd worked together. And so afterwards, she said, hey, I have beautiful photos. And she sent them to me. She was there on her own. I was there on my own with my friend at the time. And the photos she took, some of them were of me, but some of them were just like, there was one of a young girl standing up to the National Guard. I mean, they were powerful, beautiful photos that needed to be seen. I didn't hire her. I just happened to know her from something else I had done. And for that to have been given legs to was not cool.
That was given legs, yes.
Yeah.
Yes and yes. So going back to the Andy thing for a second, yes, I do agree with you that if we're being honest, right, no one cares about your mental well-being.
No.
No.
No. I mean, we're collateral damage. You know, we are easily replaceable. Never get a big head, because there's a million of us that want this opportunity and everyone thinks it'll be different for them.
No. I've said this so many times that in my next life, or if I had any time in this one, which I don't, I would have a consulting business. And the minute you got hired for Housewives, you would call me and I would sit you down and I would say, this is how your first year is going to be. This is how your second year is going to be. And this is all the things you should do. And the day it's over is the day that, like, the door is basically slammed on you and your phone calls probably will never be returned again.
No. And why even bother trying? When you're out, you're out.
Yeah. 100%.
And
everyone thinks it's going to be different. It's not.
Oh, I didn't. I knew. And I was fine with it. Luckily, my passion is sobriety. So for me, it was like, okay, I'm not going to do that, but I still have a platform to do what matters to me. And I've been able to thrive in that. So
yeah,
I think it's when you try to hold on to that, that you probably have problems. But like I said, I 12 stepped it. And if you guys are listening to this, what you don't know is we almost did this interview like 2 months ago.
Or three or four, something like that.
And the day before, I called you and said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I was having a panic attack. I can't talk about it. My time on there was so triggering. I don't want to say PTSD because I don't want to minimize that. It's not that, but it's something similar. And I was having a full-blown anxiety. I'm like, I can't do the interview. I'm sorry. I haven't recovered from this.
And I was like, I mean, I can't in all good consciousness say that you should do this interview because, yeah, listen, I feel that like when Ebony was here a few weeks ago, she said something about in a positive way. She's like, you know, this is over and it's like stepping into the lion's den with you. And she's been here many times. And she's like, that's a compliment. I'm like, yeah, like this isn't listen, there's no point in being here if we're not going to be honest, right? Yeah,
and but that was
go do another podcast. Go do another show. Come to me, people, but, when you are ready.
And I did, and I thought I was. I thought I was ready. And then the day before, I was like, I'm sorry. And then, you know, you were so kind. You're like, I get it. This is the first time I've heard this.
When I spoke to you, I was like, no, I don't think you should be here tomorrow. No. I would like you to be, but it all, like as a human being,
I hadn't worked through the trauma of it all because what they do to us is traumatizing. And you don't know. Listeners, you don't understand what it is to give your entire life over to someone and then have no control over what happens.
No control over what happens and no control over when it ends. Like, it truly is like you are dating someone madly in love, being like, we are on, you know, we've been dating for 2 years. Tonight might be the night. He might be proposing to me. Like, I can't believe this. You know, he's called. He wants to have a special meeting. And then you go and they're like, this is over.
Yeah.
And you literally show up to that meeting thinking you're going to be proposed to.
And you never see them again. Right. It is traumatizing. It's an insane – I'm grateful for it, though, because it's – you can't describe it unless you've lived it.
What did you think, though, when Andy was – because, I mean, he didn't say it about Kelly. I mean, he said some other things about Kelly. But, like, when it was this narrative of, like
– I thought it was an easy out. I thought it was bullshit and an easy out.
You did. And you never thought to yourself, well, he's saying, you know, I came out as an alcoholic. I came out as gay. If I just kept those things to myself, maybe I'd still have my job.
I knew. I remember Carrie Birmingham when I was going through all this. She's like, girl, stop talking. You're going to get fired. It's too much. It's too much. No, I knew. I'm not an idiot. I'm many things, but dumb is not one of them. I knew, but I also can't live my life any other way. I should have edited. If I had wanted to keep my job, I should have edited myself. But I'm never going to edit myself. I'm just not, you know.
Well, isn't that ironic that, like, the thing that everyone is accusing you of all this fakeness, really you're saying, like, you wouldn't have done it differently even if it would have saved your job.
People think I'm fake, and I'm like, unfortunately, I'm the most honest person on that show that year. Like, that's the irony of it all. I got fired because I'm too honest and I share too much.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I, you know, am now doing such positive things with it and, from sharing my story is how I feel like you can save lives and change lives. So do I want to be a housewife or do I want to help people? I'd rather help people.
That's very admirable. Did you watch this past season that is now come and gone, season 16?
No, I didn't. And I'm not going to be like, oh my God. So, no, I didn't watch it because it hurt. I have two of my friends on it. It sucked.
Your two friends being?
Jennifer and Noella. So it's like going on Instagram if you're not invited to the prom. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. I watched one episode because I did a thing with Tamara, and that was it.
So you are
– But I also don't live in a cave, and I know what's going on.
You know what's going on. So let's go back to – so you are still friends with Noella because, I mean, you know, right?
No. Mm-mm.
I mean, do you think that she was cast just because she was your friend? I mean, there's that drama narrative.
No. She was already up for casting when we met. So I've always made it very clear she didn't use me to get on the show. I was introduced to her through a producer.
Yeah.
So we both knew going into it our friendship was meant for a reason. I didn't think we were going to get along as well as we did, but like I love her. Did we have a falling out? Yes. To this day, I don't know what happened. I've heard what she told people. I don't know if she really said that or not. So I'm not going to comment on it because I didn't hear it from her. I know what happened, but I feel like there's a missing piece to the puzzle that I don't know.
Do you think, since you don't want to elaborate on all of that at the moment, do you think that it was like, I'll do anything to be on Housewives, and now, I mean, Bronwyn's off, so I certainly don't want to be seen with her.
No. I know that's not the truth. I know her well enough to know that's not what happened. So when she got hired and I got fired, I called her first. She actually found out she was hired because I was crying. So that, you know, that was not cool of me, but she was my first phone call. And then I got home and I wrote a text saying, I wish you nothing but the best. This is just so hard for me. I need a break. Then 2 hours later, I'm like, I changed my mind. I miss you. Like literally it was 2 hours. When I say I needed a break, I took a 2 hour break.
Right.
And she never returned my text. I sent her multiple ones. Like, and I, like the last text I sent her, I actually am making fun of myself. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to send you any more because I don't want to add stalker.
Yeah.
To my list, because I was sending her text after text and she wasn't replying. I was calling her. She wasn't calling back. And I knew it was rude of me to say, hey, I need a break. Like it was 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it was a really, you know, I just been fired. Like I was like, our friendship is bigger than that. She eventually wrote Sean an email saying, Bronwyn's tried to hurt my family. I know she's been saying horrible things about me. Sean wrote back and said, I've been with her the whole time. Like, she's not talking. So what do I think? And I have no proof for this. This is just what do I think. I think someone that she trusted said something to her to push her away from me so that she'd become closer to the other women.
And this person is on the show now?
Like I said, this is – just my opinion. I have no facts for this. I wouldn't have been surprised if someone in production had done that. Because she is not the kind of person to cut people out for no reason. We were so close. We had genuine love for each other. We still do. And you can tell when she talks about me and I talk about her. Like, we're both just hurt. Neither one of us. We did talk one day. We have talked once. I reached out when her father died. And then she called me on the phone and we have talked. But, you know, there's just so much there. One day we will. I think we genuinely will love each other forever.
And do you think the person in production, which I know is just your opinion.
Just my opinion.
Said like.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, just your opinion, said to her, like, distance yourself. She's fired. Or actually said something like, Bronwyn said such and such about you.
That's what I think. Yes. I think that is the most likely scenario given how close we were.
Interesting.
Because she's a ride or die.
Well, a producer's job in the Housewives is to create.
Yeah, no, and I don't blame anyone for it. You know, it's an interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's just.
It's an interesting world. Producers do what they have to do to get the best show possible. That is their job. It's like getting mad at a shark who bites you. You can't. So.
No, you can't. So we were going to do this 2, 3, 4 months ago. I don't know. Time does not make sense to me. And then you called me and you were upset. And I was like, I cannot convince you to do this. I mean, right, because it was like the five stages of grief, right? Like you were grieving, losing your job, which was taken away without any warning. Like, so where are you now? Like, are you truly, like having nothing to do with being here today, like, are you totally over this?
No, I don't think I ever will be. There's still moments that you miss, you know? BravoCon will be hard not going this year because I loved it.
You think we're definitely having it this year?
I don't. Who knows? I can't even plan tomorrow. I know. but like, am I glad I'm not on that cast? Yeah. Do I want to be in front of the camera again? Yes. I love it. I do love it. If that makes me thirsty, so be it. You know, anyone that goes on reality TV is thirsty. You know, wildflowers are in this business. I love it. I really do. I really love it. I find it so fun.
You do.
I do. And I like connecting to people. I like sharing stories. So will I always miss it a little bit? Of course. And it's such – I mean, it's such a – like being a housewife is – it's
not a bad
cool.
gig. it's so not cool. A bad gig. Like you're in a club of
– I mean, right? Look at the women. Like Sonia Morgan.
Yeah.
I get to be included in a group with someone like that. Like Tamra Judge. These are icons. So
– they are icons.
Yeah.
I was just saying today, I was talking about Tamara. I was like, Tamara's like, I mean, when you rank these people 1 through 39, Tamara is up there. She is up there.
E! News just did that. Did you see it?
I know Carlos King did his top 10. They did the whole thing, like 1 through 130.
It was like 160?
Where were you, Bronwyn? Do you know?
I was in the 50s.
Okay. That ain't bad.
Yeah. I was like, at one point, I'm like, did they forget my name? Because I was getting up there with like the queens. I was like, oh, cool.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. E! News did it.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm going to have to go see this.
It's an interesting one. And there was actually some housewives I forgot about. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, remember that season one, Lisa Wu on Atlanta and.
Yeah. No, I remember her.
Deshaun Snow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you lost your job, which I guess I keep saying. But what about this cast? I mean, they kept Emily, they kept Gina.
I think they're safe. You know, they're not polarizing. You had Kelly Dodd and me, and it was like, ooh, that's too much. So they just kept the safe things, you know, that moms in middle America would like. It was an interesting casting this year. It didn't make sense to me at all, especially knowing that, like, Meghan King was up, that Tamara could have come back. They could have had an amazing cast.
They could have had an amazing cast.
And the weird thing is, too, is why do you cast – you know, the show works better when people are friends. We as viewers all know that. When you have genuine friendships – it's better. There's no genuine friendships on the show this year. None. Zero.
Except for Emily and Gina.
Are they really? No. They start posting right before casting to pretend they're not really. Like, no, they're not. They just know that they're better together. So I think that's what's missing. There's no heart or soul in the show anymore. It's gone.
Well, ratings also suggest that as well. I mean, they weren't great.
No, they were horrible.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk, Emily and Gina. I mean, will they ever be the new Vicky and Tamara?
Oh, God, no. You know, and like, Tamara's not always – or Vicky's not always nice to me, and I can handle it because whatever. But she's an amazing housewife. Let's all take a moment to remember when she got that phone call about her mother. I mean, that was real. That was honest. You know, watching her and Tamara in Cabo, that was good. That was good TV. We don't have that heart and soul anymore. Like, Brianna, when she bought her that car, and then she goes, you have to pay for it.
Listen, Vicky had me at the family van. Like, I was like, who is this woman?
It was good television. Was good. They weren't trying to break each other down. They weren't trying to destroy each other's lives. Even if they got into fights, they made up. There was real women, real friendships. And I think that's what America wants right now. Like, you know, Emily's MO is she just goes on for dirt on people. She's a truly miserable human being. She's just not happy human.
Really?
No. And, you know, they don't have a lot going on in their real lives. They don't do much.
The audience has started turning on Gina, too.
Well, you know, I will say Gina gets a really good edit from the years that I was on there. She actually is quite mean, and she got a very good edit. I think Kelly Dodd called her out on that, too. Like, entire scenes would be cut out. Wow. So you have to remember when you're watching this that you're going to see what they want you to see, and that, you know, some of us are good people that do bad things. I think that's what I fall into. I'm a good person that does bad things. Some people are bad people that do good things. And that's where I'm going to put Emily and Gina. They're just not good people.
Really?
You know, like Vicky, like I said, Vicky doesn't like me, but she's a good person. She's done a couple bad things. Same with Tamara. You know?
I think Vicky's at heart, like a good, honest.
Yeah.
Like when Tamara was on my show, Tamara said something and I never understood it. And then I did. She's like, you know, Vicky didn't even know she was on a reality show for like 14 seasons. She's right. Like,
yeah.
Vicky just is Vicky. She really is.
And I think we're losing that, you know? It's very produced. There's certain cast members this year that are producing themselves. I think a lot more now.
Like who?
Like, you know, Heather's was very produced. You know, she doesn't let you into what she doesn't want you to see.
Do you know Heather in the real world?
We've met a few times at Orange Theory and our kids were at the same Taekwondo studio, but no. I will say, but, you know, she's an actress. And that works too. Like Beverly Hills is similar. I love Beverly Hills.
It's going to be a good season.
Yeah. So, but I think, you know, I think there's some people go on the show to sell a product. Some people go to get out of an unhappy marriage because it gives you financial security. You know, there's a lot of reasons to go on the show now that aren't, I want to share my life.
What about, like, does any part of you take pleasure or just smile a little bit in the fact that, you know, they let you go to make room for somebody to bring back Heather, to hire Jennifer Armstrong, to hire Noella. And here we are. We have bad ratings. Like, does any part of you say good?
Yeah, the petty part. I wish I could say I was that far on my journey that it didn't help numb the sting. It does. If it was doing well and it was getting over a million, it'd be like, oh, that sucks. But yeah, of course. It's like when your ex, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would be.
I work every day to be the best person I can, but there is still a part of me that can be a petty bitch at times. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I think also like, no, I mean, that's honest. I mean, I
can't be anything but honest. I wish I could be.
I would be thrilled. Like, are you kidding me?
Like I said, I'm a good person that can still do bad things. But yeah, it does help numb the sting. Yeah, for sure.
I would be. I mean, well, you know, it's like Andy even leading into the season. There was a lot of buildup. Look, we waited. This wasn't just
it was supposed
like,
to be a reboot.
Yes.
And it wasn't. No. Like, if you're going to do a reboot, go Miami. That was a great reboot. That's how you do it right. Like, that was excellent casting. You nailed it. This was just, like, a bunch of people that don't fit. You can't cast a I swear, I should be in casting.
You and me both.
Like, we could do a great
you
job.
You and me 100%.
I mean, Tamara should have come back, cast Megan King, cast some of Tamara's friends. You just can't bring in random people.
Do you think that they should just do what they're doing with New York and just start over?
Yes. I think at this point you just can't make a cohesive cast. It's just too late. I think you should bring back some of the OGs because there's a nostalgia factor to Housewives. We don't always want new people. We have to be invested in your life. I want to see how Simon's doing. You know, I want to meet – you know, Brianna's daughter. Like, there is something nostalgic about seeing how these people are. It's why Jersey works so well. Let's be honest. I care about Gia.
Jersey I care about had Melania. A season. Oh, my God. They're still doing well.
When Teresa moved out of her house, I was like, I remember when you moved in, picking up the tile. So I think you can't just keep casting new people and expect it to fit. The viewers need to fall in love with you. Otherwise, they're just going to tear you down.
I think that's why Shannon still has a job, personally. I mean, no, I'm not coming for her. I just think that's why they kept Shannon.
You need something to hold on to.
Do you think the OC should do what New York did and have literally two shows, like start over and have an OG show?
No, I think casting in Orange County is very hard.
It's
not a cool city like here.
No, it's not. Let's make, like, no offense.
So I moved here for a reason.
You did.
You know, Orange County is really fake. And we always say Orange County because that's the show, but it's mainly Newport. Like, because Orange County is diverse. Santa Ana, San Clemente. That's not where they're casting from. They're casting from a very small part of Orange County. No, it's just boring. Everyone says, what do you like about it there? I'm like, there's a lot of parking.
Yeah.
That's the best thing I can
it's
say
so
about
spread
it.
Out.
Like, it's a great place to raise kids, I guess, because there's so much parking and great schools.
Yes.
But when I'm home now, because I do, you know, we do nesting, so I'm in and out every other week, I go home. I'm with the kids full time. I don't even bother going out because I can only go to Mastro's and Javier's so many times. And the Quiet Woman, by the way, it's boring.
It's just those three. Those
it's like
are really
cover bands
the only three.
From the 80s. I'd rather stay at home and watch.
Mind you, every time I'm – I've said this all the time. Every time I'm there and go to Mastro's, I don't see none of you. Heather and Terry are there all the time. I see nobody. I've been there 8,000 times. No, I go to the Quiet Woman. Where is everyone?
But Shannon goes to Quiet Woman a lot, but she goes out later. I'm in bed by 10, so I go early.
Me too.
Noella goes to Mastro's a lot. I used to go to Mastro's more because there's a really hot server there. But
it's a good scene there. Do you think – I mean, then to your point, this is – it's not the cool city like New York. Do you think they should just – listen, Dallas has moved on.
If I was in charge, I would move it to Peacock.
You would?
And bring Miami full-time to Bravo.
Because you know what I would do if I was in charge? This is – I mean, well, what – okay, what do you think they should do? Here's the OC, Bronwyn.
All right, this is what you need to do.
Used to be a housewife. Let's bring Bronwyn back as producer. So, I'm giving you a promotion now.
Bring back Vicky, Tamara, Megan King, Heather. Keep those four staples because they were a good combination together. I mean, that was iconic. Then you have a choice. Cast some of their friends. Tamara has some great friends. Heather has friends. I don't know them, so I don't know if they're great or not. Tamara's I know for in life. And then – or bring back like Alexis or Gretchen.
You and I are so alike.
I mean, those are good.
This is just the reality of the situation. Yeah. First of all, Megan is, first of all, she's underrated, but her whole life has changed now. So she's a different person, people. Bring her back.
I'm friends with Megan.
Yeah.
In like real life.
And I've spoken to her.
And I love her because she is unapologetically herself. She is honest. She is raw. She went through hell and back, and she is standing. She is now a single mom working to support those kids.
Yeah.
Like, she's a freaking badass.
It'd be like a new housewife with OG nostalgia.
But yeah, Alexis,
yeah.
Gretchen, Megan King.
I agree. I mean, Alexis's life is totally different than you saw when she was on it.
Right?
Right.
She's not Jesus Jugs anymore. Now she's got like a hot boyfriend. She's living the dream of that.
That would be a core cast. Mm-hmm. But I
think you got to go back to its roots. Try it out on Peacock, see if it hits, and then bring it back.
Or, I agree. Or I say you just got to start over. I say the integration won't work.
Yeah, or you start over.
And personally, for me, if you were going to start over, I think you need to go not 20s. I like Housewives
older. You can't do 20s.
I do.
40s.
I just think, if we're going to I think then we have to go like The Hills, a little bit older.
One, little kids, no offense, take a lot of time. They're boring. You want people that are a little bit older because you have more free time. You can travel more.
Yeah.
Like, you need women that are a little older. And also, this is the truth, as a woman, you find yourself in your late 30s, early 40s.
Yes.
That's when you come into your own. So, I agree. There's some amazing people out there that they could find. They need to start over. And just do an actual reboot.
Do you think they would cancel this?
I mean, I'm sure it's not off the table. It's a lot of money. And look at things like Ultimate Girls Trip, Summer House. Those are low filming cost. So it's not
people
just
always say to me, like, because the ratings for Summer House, they're not great. Listen, that show's come a long way. But I always tell people, I'm like, it is such a cheap show.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Like, you have to keep in mind the cost, the production crews. You could do a much different show with one or two crews for a shorter shooting schedule.
And I can tell you this. I don't know what Heather gets paid to come back, but I would think it's I would think it's seven figures. That's my honest opinion. I don't think Heather came back so easily. I really don't.
I mean, I don't know.
And Shannon's salary is still up there.
Yeah.
It's up there.
So it's expensive.
It's an expensive show.
I can't wait to see what happens.
They
can't keep this up, though. This was painful. It was hard.
Do you agree with everyone who says, I saw something today that says, worst Orange County housewife in years, Jennifer Armstrong. I'm not saying it. I'm just repeating what I've read today.
I think that Jennifer, because I know her personally, I think that Jennifer has a very fine line to walk because she is the breadwinner of her family. So you don't want your doctor throwing glasses and flipping tables. She has to keep that line of professionalism. And that is hard in the housewife bubble. So, I'm sure there's a lot of things that she wished she would have said. I know for a fact a lot of her funny best scenes were cut. I know that because, But I think that's hard. I think you have to remember she has to pay her bills, guys. And no one's going to go to a doctor that's like a hot mess, whatever. So.
No.
Like.
What about how do you think Noella did? Even though, you didn't watch every minute, she was very – listen, a lot of people – a lot of the things that people said about you, Heather Dubrow has put it out there too, but the audience themselves are like, they don't buy it with Noella. They think that she is acting. They think she came and studied. They think that her scenes are fake.
Well, she was a huge fan. She did study it, and she loved Housewives, but I don't think you should hold that against her. Her life imploded. She went into filming with one life. I'm happily married. I'm rich. Life is great. To what the hell just happened? Now, keep in mind, I'm friends with James. So James is one of my good friends. So I am a little bit more like, okay, this is what's – but obviously during divorce, there's a lot of he said, she said. But her life imploded. And I think she was trying to put on a strong front. I think she was self-medicating a lot in the beginning. Just as her friend, I think she was just acting out of anger and rage and hurt. I think at the end of the day, she was so hurt. I think she was so hurt.
By what was going on in her life.
Yeah. I think it blindsided her. And I think she was blindsided by how much the women disliked her. I wasn't. I was like, if they don't like me, they're not going to like you. But I really think she thought that her and Heather were going to be close. I know she did, actually. I know for a fact. She thought they were all, like, that they were going to be friends. She thought she was going to make new friends. I don't. And you can watch. She watched me go through it, but I don't think you were really prepared for it. And I was like, they're not going to like you.
Did you tell her this?
I mean, no, because when she was hired, I was fired. We never talked again. But, like, I know that it takes a very strong, secure woman to be friends with Noella. And none of those women are.
Not even Heather?
Heather, I mean, let's be honest, like, that Heather's good at putting other people down to make herself look better, I think. But, like, that card game, I couldn't help but laugh because I got my kids the same one for Christmas.
You did?
I mean, my kids are in their 20s, but, like, that wasn't porn. If you think that's porn, then I'm so sorry for your sex life.
That became a thing. Like, are you shocked at her friendship with Shannon, though? I mean, they're like...
No, I'm not. Like, you know, you need an ally on that show. And, you know, no. Noelle has the biggest heart. It's just so... If anyone just gave her a chance and saw past, like, the sex dungeon craziness and the stacks, that's just kind of her stick. That's her thing. She's over the top. She loves the reaction. But her core thing is she just wants to be loved. She really is.
You don't think she's as fake as what the audience seems to think? A lot of them. Do you think she'll be back?
I think with Orange County, I have no clue what they're going to do because something's broken. They're going to fix it. And for the last, it's been broken for a while and they haven't fixed it. So I feel like I don't know what you're going to do.
And also, you don't put yourself in this. You want Vicky and Tamara and Jesus Jugs and Megan. You don't put yourself in there.
I wouldn't go back. It really wasn't for me.
Really?
You know, I would do something like Ultimate Girls Trip, quick in and out. I am an empath. I feel things. I'm not like Tamara, who just turns it off. It really does affect me. You know, I get emotionally involved. I think I'm better suited for what I'm doing now. You know, I feed off the energy of helping people. I love the connection, the real one. I can't do the dirty anymore. Like, it's just not – it's hard to be sober and work a program and be a housewife. They don't go together.
They don't go together. Would you ever do a Tamara or a Kelly Dodd and spend all day, every day – or David Yontef talking about housewives behind a microphone?
I wouldn't. I am working with a media group. I have a meeting with them. I want to take Amplified Voices, which I started during the pandemic just at home with my Instagram, to another level. But that won't be housewife based. That'll be, you know, sharing stories, LGBTQ, sobriety, uplifting. That's my passion. You know, I love.
You should have a podcast in that space.
And last night I was at an amazing restaurant, Caillou, that opened up last night.
Where's that? Is it in Brooklyn?
It's not. It's KYU is how you spell it. There's one in Miami. Okay. And so I was talking to the chef there last night. You know, he's sober and wants to share his story in this. And I reached out to the top chef, Sasha, who's sober. I was watching on the plane. I'm like, oh, I'm so proud of you. And so that to me, will I have people from Bravo on the show? Absolutely. Because a lot of them are my friends.
Yeah.
But I think for me, my passion is, you know, sobriety, LGBTQ, mental health, and then sharing stories. Because I think when you share the stories of others, you can connect. And that's how you break down barriers.
Okay, see? What else? So then what do you think is the misconception people still have? Like, what do you think people still have wrong about you?
I think
they don't realize that these are your passions and this is you moving on. And I mean, we all evolve in life.
You know, I think I'll still get thirsty. I'll still get narcissist. I'll still get bad mom. You know, I don't even have a nanny right now. It's just, you know, me and Sean doing our thing. I think I'll always get those because people put them out there.
Right. Bad mom. Why are you in New York? Where are your kids? I've seen that on your Instagram all the time.
Yeah, where are my kids? You know, it doesn't matter if how many times someone explains co-parenting or nesting. People are always going to blame the mom. I joke because my co-parent hasn't gotten one of those. But, you know, we're finding a new groove that works for us. And for me, as a gay woman, getting out of Newport Beach was healthy. You know, I needed to be able to explore that side of myself.
Do you love being in New York?
Oh, my God, so much.
You do?
Oh, I have cried tears of joy in Central Park.
Right?
Like, I walk through the park sometimes, and I just am so grateful that, one, that I get to live my life this way. Like, I get to wake up in bed next to Victoria, and that's
– in Brooklyn.
Magical. You know, it's magical that I get to spend my life with a woman. And I get to be in this city that – I always say no one comes here to fail.
No.
You don't come to – you know, you don't come to New York because you're like, yeah, I'm giving up in life.
Right.
I
just want an easy life. Yeah. I'm going to go to New York. You know?
And I get to be Bronwyn here. I don't have to be anyone's wife, anyone's mother, anyone's daughter. I've never had that.
I like that.
It's beautiful. And I love it. And I love all the possibilities here. Like, I love it. I cry. I will be in Central Park crying tears of joy. And I hope every woman at some point gets to live their life for – and, you know, people come at me for being a narcissist for saying this, for themselves. But it's not like that. It's not at the expense of others. My kids are doing great. It's – I get to live my life tapping into that core inner part of us that makes us us.
I'm a single person, so you don't need to tell me about that. Yeah, you have to just – you got to live it for yourself and, right? Like, to be all encompassing.
I love that, you know, my relationship with my older two daughters, because they're adults now, you know, has gotten so much better because they see their mom as a person now. You know, Rowan and Bella and I are so close, closer than we've ever been. And I love that.
Have they come to New York to visit yet?
They haven't yet. So Bella hasn't met Victoria. She doesn't want to.
Really?
She's still not comfortable with the whole thing with her parents. Rowan and Vic talk all the time, so Rowan will be the first one to come out here. But right now, Vic and I are trying to make our relationship based on us, not the kids.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Right? Do you guys have, like, a favorite restaurant in New York or favorite place to go?
We do. There is a little egg place in Brooklyn. Do you know what I'm talking about, Williamsburg?
Brooklyn, no.
Okay, that's where we go.
No shade to Brooklyn.
I guess
I'm one of those Manhattanites. I know it's all the city, and Brooklyn, there's more going on in Brooklyn now than in Manhattan, but I am just one of those, like, can't you just come to me today?
Yeah, and I love getting in the city. I try to get to the park as much as I can. We do Avra a lot.
I love
Avra.
And then
where's that place that we went yesterday? It is
– Avra is one of my favorites.
I'm there all the time.
That whole area, Fresco by Scott is my favorite right there, 52nd Street.
It's so good. So we're at Avra. I love Balthazar. There's a little French place.
You go uptown, you go downtown. That's good.
I go everywhere.
What French place in Midtown?
What's it called? Where's my phone?
La Goulet. I'm thinking of that whole Midtown scene still.
And I'm going to take the time to get to know this because they have this burrata prosciutto thing.
That sounds good.
No, we ordered two of them yesterday. We ate the first
one. Listen, I love some food, so you don't need to tell me about any of that. You know what I wanted to ask you also before we wrap up? I mean,
it's not lingerie.
Oh, I love Lottery.
267 Lafayette Street. What is that?
267 Lafayette Street. Huh.
And she sent me the address
French?
Yesterday.
I'm trying to, like, okay, let me think. I don't know, but, like, I like
– St. Ambrose.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm like, okay.
I love how I'm, like, on the maps thing.
There's
okay.
one in the West
yes,
Village.
There you go.
There's one uptown. Yeah,
that's my other favorite place, Avra and St. Ambrose.
Those are – okay, those are good ones. I'm like, Lafayette Street – do you think it's possible to, you know, like we talk about Noella, like, is it possible to come into Housewives just, like, real anymore? It's kind of like where we started this conversation. Like, is it possible for anyone? Or is it just,
no. It's not. Because even if you want to and you have the best intentions, when you get into a scene to film it, they're like, hey, we need you to talk about X, Y, and Z. We need this to happen. No, I don't think it is anymore. I think you have to go into it knowing it's a – although not scripted, it's produced. You're going to become a character, and you have to be okay with that. No. There's no reality left back into it like it used to be.
Right. Like you're told to talk about something
right.
that you may not be ready to talk about. And so I think are cameras.
Yeah. So I think, you know, if you want reality, go watch a documentary or spy on your neighbor.
And what's going to happen to Bravo? Like, okay, I mean, I'm not saying crisis mode, people, but the ratings are down for the OC. New York, I mean, was abysmal, and now we have two shows. Shaw's of Sunset is canceled. What next? You know what I mean? Like, Vanderpump had a bad season.
I think you need to look at what's working right now. Quick hits. You know, Love is Blind, The Ultimatum. These are things that people are tuning into. Netflix and Hulu sort of have it down.
Netflix out of nowhere, honey.
I think you need to change the formula a little bit, and I think everyone knows that. You know, people came out of the pandemic. We want to tune into something. We want to get obsessed with it, and then we move on to the other thing. We have short attention spans.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone sends me a text that's too long, I'm like, oh, I can't read that. So I think Bravo obviously has a lot of smart people working there, and they're going to start realizing things like The Ultimate Girls Trip is going to become more popular.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we're going to have these quick little mashups, low cost to produce, in and out, people tune in.
Instead of your $1 million, here's your $200,000, just go and film this and get out.
You know, and it's a, you know, 10-day filming schedule. You get to check in with people, but it's not the commitment because it just doesn't work anymore.
And it's light. It's yes. Light. We're not going dark. We're not going light.
Post-pandemic, no one wants that anymore. We're done. We want light. We want uplifting. We want McDonald's for the brain.
Kind of. Before I ask you one more question, do you keep in touch with anyone but Tamara from your experience?
Megan King. Yeah. We didn't film together, actually. She did a cameo. I just saw her at the GLAAD Awards, and we're doing an event for the El Paso Recovery Center next month. So
I like it.
You know, those are the only two.
Who are you most likely, if you were going to reconcile, would it be a Kelly? Would it be a Vicky? Would it be a Shannon? And Emily and a Gina thrown in there.
You know, I've never had any ill will towards Kelly. She actually has introduced me to an amazing group of people that I'm still friends with. You know, Kelly is Kelly. I have no ill will. Vicky, I don't know her that well, but I wish her nothing but the best. You know, she seems like a lovely person. As far as the other women that I filmed with, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Maybe one day. Listen, Kelly seems to have bigger fish to fry. With Heather, that's her main topic.
People always think, like, oh, you. I'm like, no, Kelly was sweet to me. You know, I have a lot of really good memories with her, and she did introduce me to some amazing people, and I am very appreciative to that. I always will be.
One day, I think you and Kelly and you and Vicky will be friends.
And I forgive and forget. Like, if you're a good person,
me too. I'm
can get
like,
over it.
I get over things.
There's
within,
some people
like,
that
seconds.
I just don't like, and I'm like, I don't want to forget, like, get over it because I actually don't like you. But, like, I like Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, Vicky's cool. Like,
kind of feel the same way. Yeah. Those are good ones.
Yeah.
We can just leave it at that.
Thank you.
Anything else? Like, what else do you want to promote? What else do you want to talk about before we go? Thank you for entertaining my many, many, many questions.
I know. It's been a long time, and I think that was important. You know, I needed to go take a step back. No, you know, I'm doing great. I'm living out here. I have a bunch of things that I'm working on, but I still can't talk about them. So
you can
come
back.
Hopefully in like 6 months. I'll be here to promote lots of other things.
Well, you know what I say to people? Your first time is like, we got to get it out. The next time you come back, we don't need to talk about Housewives at all.
You know what I would love? I would love for you to meet Victoria and have the viewers meet her.
I would love.
Or the listeners.
Bring her back.
Yeah, I would love to do it with her because. Because
I have, listen, I got questions for her. Just in general. Like, she's a model. She's, you know, she's hip. Like, yeah, come back.
Because a lot of times people are like, Bronwyn's girlfriend. I'm like, there's so much more to her than that. She's an amazing woman. So I would love to come back and do one of these with her.
I am – you see like that? I like this. Yeah. First of all, I love a joint interview. That's the first thing. It's good when it's a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
I'll bring coffee. Okay, so she'll come back next time.
Perfect.
We'll talk about like her world and, you know, all these things. And, you know, anyone that does a deep dive into her IG, she's got a lot going on.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. She's
like you
phenomenal.
Said, you get to do all the cool stuff with her.
She's phenomenal. She's – phenomenal.
What are you guys doing tonight? Anything? Staying in? You're looking at me like.
No, I am.
I didn't mean it in like a dirty sort of way.
I'm actually going to join my friend Nolan. We have a charity event to help homeless women and their children get back on their feet.
Nice.
I'm going to do that later. And then I'm going to go dancing. I'm headed down to, I might go to Duplex. I love that area. So I'm going to go out dancing tonight.
The Duplex is amazing.
I don't get kicked out, so I'm lucky.
I love the Duplex. Where can everyone find you and follow that wants to follow you that doesn't already follow you? I'm sure most people do.
I mean, obviously my Instagram, IGTV. I have TikTok, which I am a little too old for, but I love it. Especially if you're sober, though. If you're sober or coming out later in life, a lot of my stuff is about that. So Bronwyn Windenberg, Bronwyn WB. You can find me. Barefoot in Heels is my blog where I do a lot of my parenting stuff. Barefootinheels.com.
I love it. This has been so wonderful. That wasn't so bad, right?
No, like, you know,
we talked about lots of things other than housewives. I really appreciate you being here. Come back. You'll come back with Victoria next time.
Yes, we'll do that next time.
This was so much fun. Thank you so much, Bronwyn. Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review, because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones, and the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.